This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the Paddy's TV Show. Apologies for the voice. It's really bad. I'm really sick. But thankfully, I'm joined today by Cara and AJ. We're here to preview the Palace away fixture at Craven Cottage versus Fulham this Saturday. First, let's start with you, Cara. How have you been and how did you enjoy the game against Newcastle?
Oh, I loved it. I was asking a few people, got a few Palace fans at work, and we were talking today, and I was like, do you just feel like you're just a bit of a different person now that we've had three games in a row of actually like playing really good football and walking down the street a bit confidently? Everyone's like, yeah, a little bit. We've all got our shoulders back, feeling proud. It's just quite a weird feeling. I don't know about you guys, but I feel quite strange to support a club that is playing really nice football. But I'm fine. I did break my phone today. That's the only negative. So I'm phoneless. Dropped it, screen gone. So that's a little bit of balance for you. But yeah, nothing can dampen my spirits.
And AJ, I know I saw you on the match reaction. Did you go to the match?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, work tore me up, as it often does. But, you know, I was lucky enough to actually watch the game on public transport, one of my favourite things ever. So literally got on the bus home, I saw the first half, got off the bus during the half time, so I was able to sort of get home, relax and watch the game for the second half, and I'm one relieved that I was able to do that, to be fair. You know, like I mentioned on the match preview, Diff Palace is moving very, very different, and my manager's cooking and I'm eating up all of it. I'm loving it. I'm unfortunately not privileged to have Palace fans in my workplace. I have surrounded by various other teams. However, for the past couple of weeks, I've been told that I'm definitely walking around quite different in terms of confidence. And it's nice for me to actually mention I support Crystal Palace and people go, oh, yeah, you guys are doing all right, rather than why. So, it's a great time to be a Palace fan finally. And, you know, we're fighting on all fronts with our team, the ladies' teams, the youth teams. The whole structure of Taylor Club's in a really positive place. And I, for one, am loving it.
Perfect segue. Thanks for that. Let's talk about some of the other teams right now. The under-21s have a game Friday versus Middlesbrough. They're currently 15th in Premier League 2. So they're going to have to get some more points before they the playoffs begin. And, of course, this Sunday, the women will be facing Sunderland. In the last game of the season. So I'll hand it over to you, Cara. Talk about that game, please.
Okay. It was due to be the all over the Palace socials. You might see it as the final act because it was gearing up to potentially be the game on Sunday was going to be the decider who got promoted, us or Sunderland. However, spanner in the works for Sunderland, but not for us. Last weekend, they got beat by Charlton. And we won in Lewis 2-0, which means that we are all but promoted now, which Patrick, you helped me to come to the realisation during that game because I was struggling with the maths. But it puts us three points above Charlton, but we have about 20 goals on them in our goal difference. So unless something absolutely mental happens in our game on Sunday, we are going to lift the trophy at Selhurst Park. with an undisclosed number of tickets sold at the moment. I think the last update was that they hit the 5,000 mark going into this game. Nice. Yeah, the record was set a couple of weeks back, wasn't it? With about 5,500, I think. So looks like we're definitely going to break that. And yeah, the only sad bit that we do have is obviously the injury to Elise Hughes that she picked up in that game against Lewis. She's done her ACL, which is just heartbreaking for her. It would be anyway, but obviously missing out that final game, not being to get the chance to be a part of the kind of final act, as they're calling it. But she'll be there in the stadium with her family and stuff to cheer the girls on and then get on the pitch, hopefully at the end. But 16 goals in 21 games Elise Hughes has got this year. But I mean, our goal difference will tell you that she's not the only one who's been scoring. So we don't need to worry too much about that going into this game. We've got plenty of other goals to come, I think. But just an unreal turnaround. Laura Kaminsky's come in as a manager, first season managing us, and has just absolutely transformed the team. So I can't wait to be there. Can't wait to just be in Selhurst, but be at a women's game at Selhurst with record-breaking crowds is going to be a very emotional day for me, and I'm sure for plenty of other people there as well.
Yeah, it should be a great Sunday. AJ, do you ever get a chance to get down to any of the women's games, or thoughts on the team in general?
It was quite funny because me and my partner were discussing this at the time, because when we were playing at Hayes Lane, that was literally a 10-15 minute drive for me. And then I was like, oh yeah, next season, let's go. And then they decided to move back down to Sutton. So not a fan of that, but no, I haven't been to any women's games. I've managed to catch a couple of highlights, and actually the internet does its thing as well. I think it's quite fitting that Charlton have actually done us a favour and got us promoted, you know, so thumbs up for them. But it's very obvious that the women's team is definitely going in the right direction. I think more importantly, the fact that we're going to be looking at, you know, elite level football for our football club on both fronts is going to be excellent. It's just a case of, I just hope the club doesn't sort of abandon it in terms of making sure that they finance it correctly, they get the players through the door that they need. Because one thing I've noticed with the women's teams is it seems that they are recycled quite frequently. Obviously, Carter would be a lot more of an expert on that, but it seems that, put this way, I remember 2 years ago when I was at Box Park for the semi-final under the Vieira season, we managed to have the women's players there. I noticed from the last time I sort of watched the highlights of the women that none of those players were there. That was only, what, 2.5 years ago? So it'd be nice to get some sort of consistency and actually start building a squad. And more importantly, putting the women's team in a position where they can, now that they'll be at that sort of top level, we can build a squad to sort of start, I wouldn't say challenge the big boys, because I know the women's teams at Premier League level are at a different class in terms of your Chelsea's and Arsenal's. So fair play to him, man. Well done, man. And it's given us more things to cheer as a football club. Can it be more happy?
I agree. I don't want to leave the Newcastle game yet. But again, one more thing. If you get a chance to go to game Sunday, please go down and support the women's team. They've had a phenomenal season. Well worth your time. You get to see a Palace side lift the trophy. Doesn't happen very often. So get down there if you can. I highly recommend it.
Patrick, on that, can I just say, sure. I know obviously money is tight for plenty of people at the moment, but the tickets are super affordable if people are going to come down. It's £2 for under 16s. If you're a season ticket holder or you're a member, it's £5, and it's £13 for anybody who's just buying it as a non-member or non-season ticket holder. So if money's a worry for people listening and you're not sure about it, then they've definitely tried to do what they can to make it as affordable for as many people as possible.
That's brilliant. I remember last week Nick mentioned that, you know, with women's team might be in the WSL, will win WSL next season. Obviously, you see two top flight teams at one club is very rare. So if you can't see the men's team, can't afford it, get down to women. That would be great. I want to talk about a couple of things about yesterday's game before we get off and move on to the Fulham preview. I want to ask you first, Cara. Did you see the interview?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Between JP and Will Hughes, and what are your thoughts on it?
Did I? That's because you know they're my two favourite players, Patrick. Yes, I did. I watched it in the office today with my headphones on and just gave myself away because I was just sniggering. I wonder how many clubs have the characters that we have within the squad in and kind of champion that. Do you know what I mean? Like encourage getting it on camera, getting it out there. You don't really see many, well, I don't suppose there are many people like either of those two, but I just think it says a lot about what's going on in the camp at the moment, like how happy a lot of, like so many of them are for JP that he's finally getting his goals. Obviously, Hugh spoke a lot about how hard he's been working in that, and they kind of had the jokes between them about how much Hughes had been telling him, and they said, you know, when you listen, you know, it kind of comes through. So there's a real togetherness there, and I love them both. They are just, they're a dream come true for me, character-wise.
Yeah, I have to admit, I mean, I've always thought Hughes was a great person to have around the club, but his ability on the pitch has gone to another level. But yesterday I was laughing. It was so funny, the two of them together, brilliant. AJ, we have a ridiculous front three. You can say front four if you want to add Ayo and assist, but I'll at least say Eze and Mateto are being ridiculous. But I want to ask you a question. Did you watch the reaction of Eze before JP scored that goal? What do you think about that?
Well,
that, exactly. Hands up.
He did. To be honest with you, that, well, you sat next to me at games, Patrick. That looked like me in the stand where before is normally about to go in, and normally, you know, like I'm like halfway out my seat and I'm like halfway celebrating, and then normally I almost fall under the stairs because of where I actually sit, to be fair. So Eze was all of us during that sort of lovely 1-2 touch, to be fair. And I think it just shows that there is a lot of faith in Mateta, and his finishing or completion in the box in terms of the shots he's taking has improved tenfold, because I'll be honest, once upon a time, or not so long ago, I'd probably be looking at the box and just almost sort of turn around or kind of get my eyes closed because I knew nothing was going to happen. But he's in that kind of form right now where as soon as that boot lit, that ball leaves his foot, you almost guaranteed a goal right about now. So it was really, really good. I think touching on a point that you and Cara mentioned beforehand is there's definitely a team spirit. I think there's always been a bit of a team spirit there, but it just seems that with the hard work paying off, the team spirit is showing more. And it kind of shows that everybody's in a happy place, in a good position. Nobody looks isolated. Nobody looks frustrated. And, you know, everybody's really where they need to be. And I think the last thing is on that is it's faith. You know that that player is going to do a job for you. And the fact that a player is elite as ever, is sitting there ready to celebrate before the ball's before he's even taken the shot, tells you everything you need to know where the confidence is right now. And I'm for it all the way.
Yeah, I mean, that was I didn't notice it until someone pointed out to me. That's amazing. Like, he knew he was going to score. I mean, the confidence level is up through the roof. So let's go to the match against Fulham. So right now, the form guide, Fulham are 30th in the league on 42 points. They're 3 points off 10th, who are Bournemouth. But they're only 3 points, three ahead of Crystal Palace, which is amazing. They have one win against West Ham in the last five, three losses to Forest, Newcastle and Liverpool, and one draw against Sheffield United. So they're not playing that well. So I'll go to you, Cara. What are your thoughts just on in general about Fulham as far as how they're playing, any players, etc.?
I think it's clear to see they've just hit a bit of a, like, meh, haven't they? Like, I don't know if they've just kind of, they've got to safety. They're missing Willian, obviously, which is having an impact. But, like, I don't know whether it's just missing him that is, you know, is he the kind of stardust that they're needing to get through these games, or have they, is the feeling around the club that they've kind of done what they need to do for this season, letting the clubs below them kind of battle out the relegation battle, and they're just looking forward to the summer? I don't know. But I think it makes it a really good time for us to play them in the form that we're in at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, having faced, you know, like Liverpool, Newcastle, Man City, you're not going to necessarily fear Fulham. But AJ, right now, the leading goal scorer is that kid Muniz, who has 8 goals this season. Bobby De Cordova-Reed has 6, and Iwobi has 5. They play a 4-2-3-1 system. Their main players are players like Paulinho and Pereira. So what should we be looking for as far as threats from Fulham come Saturday?
Do you know what? Coming into the preview, I kind of sat there and thought to myself, what Fulham player is standing out? Or what, you know, when was the last time people were talking about Fulham like that? They had a brilliant start to the season. Obviously, when they brought that striker in, and I believe he brought him in January. Or was it February? Or was it last summer? I can't remember. But he was the player of the month in January. And he had a really, really good start. But there's not really a huge threat with Fulham. And I know that might sound a little bit arrogant considering we've only just turned up for our season, but the reality of the situation is without Willian in that team, they're not as cutthroat and as scary to worry about. I think, yeah, Pereira is very, very technical. Paulinho, obviously, on the cusp of joining Bayern Munich last summer, obviously, he's come back, stuck it in, and kind of got on with it. But then, almost with a little bit of arrogance and maybe ignorance, I don't really see any standout players in Fulham that we need to fear based on the form we're on and the form they're in. I feel like actually hand on heart, barring the last couple of games we were on, this is the nearer to the easier fixture. And with the way that the manager is talking and the way their confidence is right now, we should be looking at this game and going for a quick 3 points. They might come back to bite me, but that's the way I'm looking at it. Nobody really scares me in the Fulham team in comparison to what we potentially could have had to deal with the past 3 games.
I completely agree. And I actually picked something out. I was just reading BBC Sports stuff in preparation for coming on. And I want to read you this that was written about Fulham, right, on the 21st of April. So what is that? 4 days ago, right? And just listen out for the reference of Crystal Palace and how different this reference may well be if they wrote it today. Nonetheless, they will have a chance to bounce back with back-to-back London derbies against Crystal Palace and Brentford, buoyed by the knowledge their best recent displays have come on such occasions against West Ham and Tottenham. I don't know if you'd include us in that list of a chance to bounce back in a way that the last 4 days have gone. I feel very positive. And I think if you'd have asked me a couple of weeks ago, this would have been one that I would have been like, oh, if we come away with a point, I'll be happy enough, you know, but I'm really not too worried at all. I'm just looking forward to seeing some goals go in.
I mean, it is amazing how the mindset change of a manager, change the mindset of not only the players, but the fans. Because you're absolutely right. I don't fear Fulham like I would have feared them under either another manager or even 4 weeks ago. When you come off a good effort against Man City, you know we lose. A win over Liverpool, a win over West Ham, and obviously a win over Newcastle. It's like, what do we have to fear? And the style of play, which I want to talk to you about, AJ, the style of play is so positive. Front foot, pressing, turning the ball over, creating chances, long shots, etc. AJ, what are your thoughts on basically on Glasnabor, on the style we're playing right now?
Well, I don't sound too cliche. It's amazing. The thing is, right, clearly the man has brought over a version of Geiger pressing, which Jurgen Klopp was naturally quite famous for. So naturally, I believe it is a thing in German football, which is obviously very, very popular. With the talent, youth and speed that we've got on our team, that works in place to our advantage. We've already got we've always had the technique in our team. We've always had the quality of player, whether it had been a Wilfred Zaha or in today's comparison, you've got your Elises and Eze. So as long as those players stay fit, it's dangerous. And you are basically giving these kids a license. And I use the term kids loosely, but you are giving these players the license to use their creativity as long as they continue and press early from the front. It's quite a contrast and difference. So even if you look at something like Mateta playing to his strengths, Mateta, say what you want about him with goals, but he's always somebody that just runs at defenders and runs at goalkeepers and never gives up. When you add a Geiger pressing system to that, and then you have the creativity behind him, like the Ife and Eze's and Wharton's and players like that, that plays to the manager's strengths and what the manager seems to know and identify, which made it very successful where he was previous. So with the style of play, it just makes it so much. We just look better. We look like we want it. We look like we're hungry. And I feel like I'm, you know, in the Pens in South London when I was a kid, you know, messing around with my mates and trying to do the jogger Benito, if you will. So when you sort of look at the contrast and difference to somebody like a Edward, for example, and I'm sorry to pick on him on this example, but when he came on, the attack fell flat because he's not willing to run. He's not really willing to close out defenders. He is a ball to feet more type player. So as far as I'm concerned, these players, as it stands right now, are fighting and playing for their futures, because I do believe this man would never have came to Crystal Palace if they wasn't giving promises about how he can reshape the team in the summer. I just cannot believe it. It's based on his history and based on his credentials. So I believe there are a lot of players in that team that are fighting for their futures. So they have to be able to position themselves where they're almost undroppable. In the same sentence as that, look how he is happily willing to leave Alicia on the bench, take off Eze after 60, 70 minutes. You know, put on players like Schlott, Ward, Edward, which, let's be honest, would have probably given you a headache or given us reason to throw your television out of your window. And it would be fully justified by that. So just everything about this man's presence, the way he speaks, the way he talks in press conferences, interviews, has given me this probably even more faith than when we were under Vieira.
Very high praise. As of recording, we have not heard yet from Oliver Glasner regarding injuries. I'm going to assume, though, that there will be no changes. We can see my third game in 7 days. Holding got re-injured, so probably won't be available. So I'm thinking it's going to be the same squad. But being that he rested Olise against Newcastle, Cara, would you make any changes to line up? Like, for instance, maybe resting Eze, like, and then have him come on late? Or what would you do as far as lineup?
I don't know if I'd rest Eze. To be honest, and again, I was having this conversation at work about what do you, in a slightly different slant, like, do you then look at the last 9 points that we've been able to get and think like, oh, do we start giving some of the young ones a chance now that we've got that little bit of a cushion? Patrick, I just want to see our best team out as much as we can, because we don't know what players are going to be there with us, what of these players are going to be there with us in August, right? So if they're worried about Eze, rest him, sure. But if they're not, and Alisa has got the benefit of having been rested for the majority of the match last night against Newcastle, then I just want to see our strongest 11 starting every single time, and just want to enjoy it, to be honest. And I think, looking ahead to the summer, and I wonder what you both think about this, like, how much do the next few, or have the last few and do the next few games change what our expectations are for the summer? You could not have convinced me in one jot that there would be an attraction for either Elisa or Eze to stay a couple of weeks ago. But now I'm looking at it thinking, hold on, if you've got this manager they're loving playing under, and we have another couple of games where, you know, that kind of team ethos we were talking about builds. If I'm the club, if I'm Glasner even, who will want to keep hold of those players, keep playing them together. Make them happy. Give them a sense of what it feels like to play together and to get these results under the belt. And then I think what you go into the summer with is a very, very different Crystal Palace and a very different prospect of who stays and who goes than what it was a couple of weeks ago and what it would be if you kind of now take the foot off the pedal a bit.
You know what? You make a great point about those two players, because Alex Howell today, who works for now, used to be Broken Palace, BBC, said, had a report today that Palace would not be looking to sell either one for less than 60 million each. So obviously, here comes silly season now. We're going to be hearing rumors about Olise and Eze from now until whenever. AJ, what are your thoughts on possible lineup change? I don't want to get into summer speculation yet. We can do that. But what about just for Saturday's game? What are your thoughts about maybe changing things up a bit?
Well, Patrick, silly season is your favorite season, is it not?
Say again?
I thought silly season was your favorite kind of season, wasn't it? But in all seriousness, I think, I agree. I think we should just go all guns blazing. I think we start Elise. I believe Eze should start, subject to obviously fitness. I do want to see I think as the weeks go on, I want to potentially see a strongest team available, because I feel that there is definitely an excellent opportunity to finish high as possible still. I kind of looked at it quite glummer for probably about a month or so ago and thought, okay, we're going to just maybe scrape enough to get the sort of magic 17th to 15th place. But actually, when you look at the table now and you look at the points, granted, there's a couple of games in hand in it, But if we actually end up ironically finishing in our favourite position, 11th or 12th, and finish above Brighton, there is no words for the arrogance and disrespect I'm going to distribute on social media, if that's the case, to be fair. So I need it. We need it. And I think it definitely gives us a springboard to start making plans and show the players that may or may not be looking out the door. Actually, the grass is definitely not looking quite greener right now. We need to be able to, not for ourselves, the fans, and, you know, or not just for ourselves and the fans, but more importantly, for the squad ambition. You know, we held back for so many years just getting by. Let's go for the juggler, man. Let's try and get the points. Plus, more importantly, prize money. We know Steve Parish loves prize money. We don't need to get into that. We need to be a little bit more sensible here. So go for it. You know, I want us to try and, you know, the manager said he believes every game is winnable. I believe in my delusional mind that this guy can have us scoring several goals every game. So why not?
That was
Nick's favorite part. Very quickly, we have won 3 matches in a row. Last time we did this was under Roy Hodgson last season. Leicester 2-1, Leeds 5-1, and Southampton 2-0. Question for both of you. Last time we won 4 in a row was when? Anybody remember? 4 in a row.
Have we ever done that?
We actually have in the Premier League.
In the Premier League? In this stretch of the Premier League?
Actually, it was only 5 years ago.
Wow.
Only 5 years ago, he says. Fair enough.
We're Crystal Palace, AJ. Remember that?
Yeah, I was actually quite impressed.
I'll help you. Under Roy Hodgson, 2019-20. Newcastle 1-0, February 22nd. Brighton 1-0, February 29th. Watford 1-0, March 7th. And then came lockdown.
Lockdown. I was at that Watford game.
1-0 after lockdown. That was the last we won 4 matches in a row. So we're going for that this week against Fulham. Last we played Fulham was a 0-0 draw, September 23rd. A very boring game. Very boring game. So we'll move to predictions. AJ, your prediction for this Saturday's match versus Fulham?
3-1. And the only reason I'm saying the 1 is because I don't think Dean Henderson can help himself. So it's going to be a 3-1. He can't help himself. It's going to be 3-1.
Can I just say, I wrote down the prediction and it is exactly the same and literally exactly the same reasoning for why I think the 1's going to go in.
All right. So I'm going to go 2-0 Palace because you guys both hit Henderson and I have no problem with him. So I'm going to go 2. And by the way, last week I nailed not the West Ham game. This week I nailed the score yesterday, 2-0. I got lucky, obviously, because of the late goal, but 2-0. Anyway, sorry for the voice, everybody. I apologize. Thank you to Cara, AJ, everyone for listening. Please be sure to like, subscribe on YouTube. We have just passed 4,500 subscribers. Thank you so much. We're heading for 5,000. Listening on Spotify, give us a thumbs up. We appreciate all your support. Looking forward to the game this Saturday. Until next time, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.